Today on Real Radio.
Guys, you want to find a girl who's right on and not going to bring you any trouble and any pain? There's only one way. See if she loves the Lord Jesus Christ. Because listen, when they're in their little company sales thing in Chicago and they're gone for 2 weeks, you can call 24 hours a day. That ain't going to keep them faithful. You can put a GPS on the back of his neck and it's not going to work. It won't work.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in the Old Testament book of Judges. We're in a mini-series taken from all 18 verses of chapter 10. The period of the Judges is one of the Old Testament narratives that demonstrate Israel's volatility as far as which deity they follow and worship. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs continuing in his series called Three Things You Need to Survive.
In this chapter, for those of you who are Bible students this evening, you can mark Judges chapter 10 in a very key way. It's broken down into three divisions, very simply. And the first division we looked at several weeks ago, that's in verses 1 through 5, and that is developing a thankful heart. Developing a thankful heart is what you and I will need if we are going to survive in these last days. How do we come to that conclusion? Because Israel, during the time of the judges, did not nurture that thankful heart. They began to become unthankful. And when you become unthankful, you begin to gripe and to complain and to moan about everything and anything. Nothing's right. Everything's wrong. I can't take it anymore. And the finger begins to point. And look, I see some smiles on your faces. That's kind of the age in which you and I live in. Everyone's pointing at everybody else. It was her fault. It was his fault. You know, and it's a very terrible thing. When you do not have a thankful heart, you'll have a cynical heart develop. And nurturing a thankful heart is what we looked at in verses 1 through 5. Then in the second part of this message, we talked about a submissive spirit, verses 6 to 16. And that's where we left off, right near the end of developing a submissive spirit in life. Israel, again, had forgotten to do that. So we looked in these verses 6 to 16, developing a submissive spirit, and we'll draw out of it, by way of review, a very key thing. Look at verse 10. It says, "And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord, saying, We have sinned, because you have both forsaken our God and served the Baals, or the pagan gods of Babylon that they had adopted." So verse 11 says, "So the Lord said to the children of Israel," and the Lord begins to cite these historical facts. "Did I not deliver you from the Egyptians?" The answer is yes. And he goes down the list of all of these invading kingdoms that had come against them. "Did I not deliver you?" Yes, the answer is. He was faithful. And the Lord says to them, "I will not deliver you anymore. I've had it up to here with you because you don't take me seriously." And the children of Israel cried out, look at verse 14, "Go and cry out to the gods which you have chosen," the Lord said. You've forsaken the real true living God. You've set up all these things that are around you. You listen, they bowed down to foreign deities and in so doing submitted to their worship system and not to the Lord. But listen to this. He says, "I will not deliver you in your time of distress." Verse 15, "And the children of Israel said to the Lord, We have sinned. Do to us whatever seems best to you, only deliver us this day, we pray. So they put away the foreign gods from among them and served the Lord." Listen, "and his soul," that is the Lord's soul, God, his heart was grieved that he could no longer endure the misery of Israel. Is that not tender? And we talked about that last time. We just got into it, and we had run out of time. They cried out. He said, go to your room. And just like a little kid who's been busted and they're tormented, they're dragging their blanket, you know, off to their room. They got busted. They're in trouble. And the whole way they're going, they're saying, but daddy, but mom, but. And as they're marching off, you can see, and everyone take note of this. Don't miss this. The kind heart of your God. You say, well, wait a minute. We're in the Old Testament. Isn't that a fiery, flaming God of the Old Testament that's going to come down and crash on me? He's the same God of the Old Testament as he is of the new. He's the same Lord. He doesn't change. The funny thing about the Old Testament is that it seems to go through the chronology of the children of Israel who just are bent on disobeying him. And when you belong in a family and you disobey, you get called on the carpet, or you got to go put your nose in the corner of the room. And some cases, as we've read today in our daily Bible reading, in the book of Hebrews, what does God do to those that he loves? He spanks them. She spanks? Is that legal? Hey, Sacramento might make it illegal. But God loves his kids, and he knows exactly how to spank. And you guys know by now that when God spanks, right, you know what I'm going to do. Listen, in our lives growing up, maybe our fathers or our mothers came down on us, and they spanked us. It wasn't even a spank. It was a crushing. It was like, bang! Well, when God spanks us, he doesn't come down on us like this. He comes this way and spanks us right about there. And when he spanks us, it's always an upward movement. It always picks us up. When he spanks us to discipline, he never crushes us. He always picks us up. And when he disciplines us, his children, his discipline, and when I get done saying this, can you say amen? Because it would be really good. When he disciplines his children, he does it in a way that always brings us back to him. Amen. So you know what I'm talking about. He never drives us away like that. He may scold us. He may not listen to us. Like Isaiah 59 says, my hand is not short that I cannot save you, and my ear is not deaf that I cannot hear you. But your sins have separated you from me so that I cannot hear you, and I cannot save you. I cannot rescue you. But the moment you turn around to God, and some of you maybe tonight, maybe one person tonight, you've been backslidden, that is, you remember days when you were very hot with God. Your life was just all about Jesus. And now it's not like that. That means backslidden. And the lie of the enemy is to tell you tonight, you are so far from God, you'll never be able to make it back. Just forget about it. Just give up. He'll never take you back. That is a lie from the pit of Hades. The moment you turn your heart in repentance back to him, he looks down on you, and he cannot stand the misery of your soul. He can't take it. And he says, come on back. Come on out of your room, and let's go play. Let's goof off and live again. He's so good about that. And we saw this very quickly, that developing a submissive spirit means that we acknowledge him, that we turn to him and acknowledge him. What a simple thing that is. Yet when pride is involved, when we are not submissive, we won't acknowledge him. I know some people, I'm not naming names, I don't even know if you're here tonight, but I know some people who, listen, I don't understand this logic, I don't get it, but it happens. Someone hurt this person. They were hurt by somebody. And that hurt person now has taken it out on God. I don't understand that. Some person hurts them. Maybe it was a pastor. Maybe it was a Sunday school worker or an usher or somebody. And they get the person gets hurt by someone else. That happens in life. Okay, can we deal with that? It happens in life. But why would you then turn your back from the person that hurt you, and God? That's it. That guy hurt my feelings. I'm not going to church anymore. Do you understand what you're doing? The very one who can save you and rescue you and deliver you is the Lord God who did not hurt you, but you're punishing, you think, him. I'm not talking to you anymore, God, because that guy over there hurt my feelings. You are ruining your life, man. Don't do that. Don't be like that. And the Lord looks down and sees the misery of your soul, and he has compassion. He can't take it. How's it fixed? Acknowledge him. Don't turn your back on him. You can turn your back on people. Yes, because people have turned their back on me. That's going to happen again. Get used to it. Didn't the Bible say that all men are liars? Huh? Ladies, that was your amen moment right there. God keeps his promises. He loves you. He's calling you to him. His arms are wide open. Acknowledge him. But that takes submission to him. Secondly, we looked at this, that developing a submissive spirit is by loving him. You cannot love God. The children of Israel failed at loving God when they got their eyes off of him. That's the funny thing about love. When you love somebody, you look at them. You know, you're watching them. And the same is true with a believer in our Lord. Though we don't see him physically, we watch him through the word. You want to know what God is like in person? Read the New Testament. Read the Gospels. You see Jesus walking among men. A woman caught in the act of adultery. She's drugged to Jesus' feet, thrown down there, ready to be stoned. What would God do? God already showed us what he would do. Jesus Christ said, "Woman, where are your accusers?" You remember they all ran away because they were probably guilty of worse sins than hers. And she said, looking around, "Lord, I see that I don't have any. They've all fled." And Jesus says, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." What would God be like if? Look at Jesus. That's how you love God more. The more you spend time, look, you guys, let's be honest. Have you ever been walking around like at the county fair and you see this beautiful woman with this ugly guy? How did that happen? You know how it happened. He's nice. He opens doors. He might open doors. He speaks to her nice. He's loving. When you spend time with the Lord Jesus Christ in the Word, you begin to pick up on his nature. And you begin to fall in love with him. You know, people are running around cursing Jesus, going crazy, all upset at the Bible. You ask them, "Have you read the Bible?" "No." "And what's your big beef with Jesus?" "I don't want Jesus in my life." "Well, tell me what you know about him." I don't know. Watch out. Humble your heart in front of him. Get into the love letter he wrote you and find out about him. You say, "Well, Pastor, I don't like you." I may not like you. That's not the point. I want you to meet him. I can't do anything for you, but he can do everything for you. "Well, this church, I don't know. It's so drab in here. Everything's kind of tan. Where's the color? Why don't we get some color in here? This church can't do anything for you." It cannot. Jesus did it all. And you love him by spending more time with him. And then we say, because we're not acknowledging him, because we're not loving on him, it was the third place that we looked at last time, picking it up, by surrendering to him. We cannot surrender to the lordship of Jesus Christ if we don't understand his love for us, and we'll never understand his love for us unless we acknowledge him. And church, we talked about it last time, when we surrender to him, that is when life begins. It doesn't begin like this, all puffed up and arrogant. And any Christian knows who has spent time with Jesus that some man or woman that is arrogantly puffed up like that is so out of touch with the Lord. I get upset as you do. People write me or they email. I had it asked of me Sunday night. "There's this guy on a certain Christian television program. You know, what do you think?" I get grieved over that stuff. His limousine's so long, you know, and the diamonds, I can't even see. I can't even listen to his message because his diamonds get in the way. And that makes me sick too. Breaks my heart. And then you see these ministers walk out and their arrogance and their swank. That's not the Lord. And it just tears you up. You cannot walk with Jesus and be developing or nurturing a submissive heart in your life. But listen, no matter how arrogant or prideful we might be, if you spend time with them, you come to this wonderful place of surrender. In fact, didn't we sing the song tonight, I Surrender? Oh my goodness, Jean-Luc didn't even know we were going to do that. Perfect. I feel feisty tonight, so I'm afraid I might upset somebody tonight by saying this, but we need to be careful because I Surrender All. How many of you sang that song? I sang it. Did you sing that song? Okay, I Surrender All. Do you know what A.W. Tozer said in a service one day? You know A.W. Tozer? If you have not read A.W. Tozer, buy every book he's written. He is awesome. A.W. Tozer, they were singing a song about kind of like what we were singing tonight, and Tozer got up and he said, in his own church, he said, listen, as Christians, we don't, you know, go around telling lies anymore because we're Christians. And everyone's like, yes. He said, but apparently we just sing them in church. No wonder why his church never grew over 150 people. But think about that for a minute. I surrender all. I surrender all. What if the Lord were to park this roof tonight and say, do you now? All right then, let's surrender it up. I surrender all. Listen, if I surrender all, what's coming out of my mouth, God is listening. And Lord, what am I surrendering all? Number one thing, it's absolutely the issue of Judges chapter 10, that the will of the people would turn to the Lord and acknowledge him and submit to him and love on him. Why? Because that's when life begins. And I invited you a couple weeks ago to come on back because we're going to get into this topic about submission. And that's always a wonderful thing to bring up. Because we have been sold a bill of goods by this world that submission is some barbaric, ancient thing. Granted, the word Islam, you know some Arabic, you do. Islam is Arabic for submit. When you say Islam, you're saying submit. That's what the word means. The difference is, when the Lord would have you to submit, it is in a personal, loving relationship with God. He said, well, then why bring up the word submit? And this is where we left off last time. Wives, submit to your husbands. That's why I don't go to church. Right there. I'm going to leave right now. You say it one more time, Pastor. I'm leaving. Wait a minute. Wives, submit to your husbands. And the scripture says, and husbands are to be submitted to the Lord. Ephesians 5:21, and those following verses. If the husband is submitted to the Lord, the wife will never hear these words, why don't you submit? She'll never hear those words. You want to know why? He will never say them. You want to know why? Because he, the husband, is submitted to Christ. And if he's submitted to Christ, then when he comes out of his prayer closet or out of his office or pulls up in the work truck and comes to the door, there's none of this, I'm home, submit. The Lord is here. There's none of that. You want to know why? He submitted to Jesus. He's read God's word. He's driving home on the freeway, maybe listening to a real radio at 4 o'clock in the evening or whatever. And he comes home and he's pumped up. He's been maybe listening to devotions. He comes home. Hey, honey, what's up? What's going on? How was your day? Some of you ladies would say, oh, I'm sure, boy, the day my husband would come home and ask me how my day was, I'll fall over. But that's what happens when a man is submitted to the Lord. You want to have a good marriage? You want to have a good relationship? You want to have a good relationship with your workers or with your boss, whatever it is? This is the key. The Bible says, God says, I resist the proud, but I give grace to the humble. And the word in Greek means, God says, I resist those who stick out the chest. Sticking out the chest, God says, I'm. In fact, when he says, I resist those who stick out the chest, God's chest is bigger than your chest. And when you are like this, God does this. And you will lose. But when you submit to him, husband and wife tonight, single girl, single guy, young person, old lady, old man, you submit to him, that's when life begins. And it's a whole love thing. You have never seen a couple in love and bring up the word submit. Aren't you supposed to submit to me? When love is being expressed, that's not going to happen. And guys, listen up. This is going to be free right here, right now. Listen. Every woman that I have known, from my wife to my daughters to women in marriage counseling, every woman is excited and hopeful that they have a man that leads them, loves them, is faithful to them, and they don't ever want to bring the word up submit either. A woman wants to know that she's loved, and I don't think it's possible unless that man loves the Lord. I mean, to the fullest. I think it's the absolute. You want to have a good man, ladies? You want to have a good man? Look for a man who's in love with Jesus. Then you'll find a man. Guys, you want to find a girl who's right on and not going to bring you any trouble and any pain? There's only one way. See if she loves the Lord Jesus Christ. Because listen, when they're in their little company sales thing in Chicago and they're gone for 2 weeks, you can call 24 hours a day. That ain't going to keep them faithful. You can put a GPS on the back of his neck and it's not going to work. It won't work. But you know what will? Knowing that she fears the Lord, or he fears the Lord.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a mini-series called Three Things You Need to Survive. A look at the Old Testament book of Judges, chapter 10, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. We've also been telling you about Pastor Jack teaching a series currently called Life and the Bible, a collection of presentations taken from many parts of Scripture that offer up practical wisdom on not just what to believe, but how to live and deal with life situations. Some of the DVD subtitles in this series, Being a Christian at Your Job, Being a Christian in Your Relationships, Being a Christian in Your Home, well, now we're offering Being a Christian While Being a Woman. For a gift of any amount in support of Real Radio, we'll send you Pastor Jack's message on DVD called Being a Christian While Being a Woman, part of the DVD series called Life and the Bible. Whether you call, click, or write, be sure and mention it by title, Being a Christian While Being a Woman. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or if you'd like, you can send in your contribution to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And you can always visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.